Good evening. You'd open up your Bibles to 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. We're going to be talking this evening about a man, a prophet by the name of Micaiah, who was God's faithful spokesman. We don't know much about Micaiah. He's only mentioned briefly in this chapter. But we're going to see some great things about this man of God. You know, This period of time here is at the well into the divided kingdom period, where you've got Israel and Judah divided into two separate nations. You've got the northern 10 tribes known as Israel, and the southern two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, collectively known as Judah. And so you have two different kings. You have two different lines of kings. You have the descendants of David ruling over the house of Judah, and you have various people ruling over the northern kingdom, and various kings, and the dynasty continues to change. All the years that the northern kingdom was a separate entity of itself, they had not a single king that was righteous. Judah, on the other hand, had several that were righteous. Most were unrighteous as well. But here we have in 1 Kings chapter 22, Israel or Judah has as its ruler Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is one of the better rulers that Judah ever had, whereas Israel is ruled over by a man by the name of Ahab, perhaps the worst ruler that God's people ever had. And so we're going to see there's going to be a problem of unity, or union, really, is what this is, between those two men. Now, there's a lot said in our society today about unity. You know, it's the plea from most denominational churches is for all groups to simply unite. But God's holy word reveals that union is not always according to God's will. You know, an unequal yoke with unbelievers and fellowship with those involved with iniquity and darkness does not make for unity that pleases God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, he says there, Paul writes, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath lights with darkness?" You know, the warning sounded forth also to the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, where he says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Now, those who love the Lord and love His Word will speak against religious error instead of aligning themselves with it. Now, let us turn over to 1 Kings 22. Beginning in verse 1, we're going to read down to verse 8. And we'll stop there for a moment. It says, "And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people are as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And so the Syrians had come and they had taken Ramoth-Gilead, which belonged to the northern kingdom. And Ahab says, you know, why don't you come down and help me take that city back, because we are the same people. Though they're two different nations, they are the same people. They are all the descendants of Abraham and so forth. And so they are all Jews or Israelites. And so he says, come and help me take it back. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people are as thy people, my horses as thy horses. So they agree to go to battle together as allies. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And so here Jehoshaphat wants to go. He wants to fight alongside, and he wants to take back that city for the northern kingdom. But he also wants to make sure that that is according to God's will. And so that's very commendable for Jehoshaphat. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead in battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And so these 400 men, 400 advisors, prophets, they say, Absolutely, go up and do it. God has delivered it into your hand. But Jehoshaphat's not really keen yet on this idea. And he said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides which we might inquire of him? So he's a little skeptical about these 400 yes men that said exactly what the prophet wanted to hear or what the king wanted to hear. And so he said, Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we might inquire of him? He recognized that these men, these were not prophets of the Lord. And so he wants to hear from a prophet of God. In verse 8, And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And so Micaiah is a bold and noble man who has a reputation for not being willing to compromise the word of God. His earthly king demanded obedience and acceptance. Ahab wanted all of his advisors to be yes men. He wanted them to be sycophants. He wanted them to merely rubber stamp everything he wanted to do. And to disagree with Ahab would engender his petulance and his hates. Even knowing all of this, though, as we're going to see, Micaiah will not budge. He will not accept or acquiesce to the king's demands and to the peer pressure to conform to the king's whims. And so from this great prophet, we learn that unity and peace at any price is never pleasing to God. And so, again, we need to say it. Notice that Micaiah was known to be a spokesman for God. You know, Ahab had hundreds of counselors. The vast majority were wicked. They were false prophets, 400 of them. But especially his wife, Jezebel, who put him up to a lot of the worst things that he ever did. Just before this incident, the previous chapter arranged for the murder of Nadab so that they could seize his vineyard because Ahab just wanted it and didn't have enough guts to go and take it for himself. And so the wicked counselors were in the habit of, Ahab pleasing. That's what they were out about. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to make their king happy. They wanted to engender his gratitude. And so, Ahab had some itching ears. He wanted to hear what he wanted to hear. And so his ears itched and they scratched them for him. We read about this in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4, where it says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This is what Ahab wanted to hear. He wanted to hear what he wanted to hear. Only one, though, would consistently tell him the truth, even when he didn't want to hear it. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, Be instant in season and out of season. And an old-time preacher I heard say, that means preach it when they like it and when they don't like it. Even when they like it, even when they don't like it, preach the word. And so, that was the reputation of Micaiah. And so again, Jehoshaphat asked, isn't there a prophet of the Lord that we can inquire of? Isn't there someone that we can ask that will not just simply tell you what you want to hear? And so again, Ahab, he said, there's that Micaiah. I hate his guts because he never says anything good about me. Ahab was a wicked king. And really, he was opposed to the cause of truth. Therefore, he was easily manipulated by those who told him what he wanted to hear. Micaiah, though, was a lover of God's truth and was not about to allow himself to be united in any way with this wicked Ahab. And so as Christians today, who loves God and His truth, will not form any union with error. One who loves God will always honor and accept a thus saith the Lord, while refusing and rejecting a thus saith some man. And so we've got to have a love for the truth and a love to hear God's word. You know, Ahab, though, he wanted what he wanted. And he wanted someone to tell him the answer he wanted to hear. You know, I saw on Facebook the other day, it's hard to hear God's voice when you're already decided what you want him to say. And that's exactly what Ahab has done. He knows what he wants God to say. And so Micaiah was known to be a man of God, known to be a prophet of God, and he wasn't very well liked because of that. You know, he was an uncompromising spokesman for God. You know, when they decide to call for him, you know, Jehoshaphat wants to hear a prophet of the Lord, and so they send down to the jail where Micaiah is at. They send down there for Micaiah to come up and to answer the king. And so in verse 13, as we skip down there, it says there, "And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the works of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." You know, here's this advisor comes down to Micaiah. He probably is sympathetic towards Micaiah down there in the jail. And he says, well, you know, just back off a little bit. Just this one time, just tell him what he wants to hear. That way you don't have to keep on suffering. You know, everybody else is doing it. All the other 400, like one voice, we knew what he wanted. And so we gave him the answer, just go along with us. You know, why won't you just go along with us? Now, just because most everyone else is willing to unite with something that is wrong, with error, and reject the purity of the gospel, does not make it right. You know, the temptation was to please men rather than God. That's what they're saying. Don't worry about pleasing God. Just make Ahab happy. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul wrote, "Therefore, do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." You know, false prophets will always speak smooth things to those who desire to hear smooth things spoken to them. And they will always have a large following. The man who stands with God, however, must be prepared to stand alone. And so Micaiah was an uncompromising spokesman for God. He was a faithful spokesman for God. You know, when asked to declare good to the king, he said, "As Jehovah liveth, as the Lord liveth, what he says to me, that will I speak. I will only speak the words of God." 1 Kings 22, verse 14. You know, a faithful child of God will never fail to declare unto people the whole counsel of God. Acts 20 and verse 27, as Paul said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." You know, some people, they'll never speak error. They'll never teach that which is false. But there are some things they just simply won't teach. Anything controversial, maybe they'll just avoid those topics. They'll teach the truth on any topic that's not controversial. Paul was not like that. "I'm going to share all the counsel of God, all of it, whether you like it or whether you don't like it, whether it's popular or not, in season, out of season, whether they likes it or whether they don't likes it." Paul was going to preach and teach the whole council. He shrank not from declaring unto the people anything that was profitable. Acts 20, verse 20, he says, "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." He did not withhold anything from them. And Micaiah was like that. The king needed to hear the truth. And Micaiah was not afraid to withhold the truth from him. He did not withhold the truth from him, is what I'm trying to say. Somewhere in there. Now, one who respects and honors God and loves his fellow man will never hold back or compromise God's glorious truth. To hold back for fear of offending someone is never one in one's best spiritual interest. It's always a deceitful handling of God's word when the searchlight of truth is turned away from error. Now, we've got to, again, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Shine the light on them, in other words. Point out the sin. And now we also need to see that Micaiah, because he was a faithful, uncompromising spokesman for God, he was hated. Again, verse 8, King of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." As we move down to verse 15, Micaiah, he comes to the king, where he said, I'm not gonna compromise. I'm not gonna just tell him what he wants to hear. I'm gonna speak the words of the Lord to him. In verse 15, he came to the king, and the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear?" And he answered him, "Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And the king said to him, "How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, and sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace.'" And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil?" And so when finally Micaiah tells him what he wants to hear, "Go up and fight, that's what I want to hear." And he goes, "Oh, I know, he's not giving me the truth. He's not telling me the real truth here." I can just picture Micaiah. I don't have much of a description of him, but I imagine he's sitting there, probably the most sarcastic tone possible. "Go up, yeah, go on up and do that. God will be with you. Go ahead, do that." And so he's like daring him to do it. And Ahab's like, "Wait a minute. He's never told me what I wanted to hear before. He said, 'I told you, always tell me the truth.'" But isn't that why he hates him? Because he always tells him the truth? And so he never likes the truth when he hears it. And so poor Micaiah, he can't win either way. And so he goes back and he says, "No, I saw a vision, and you're going to die, and the people are going to be leaderless, and they're all going to go home. But you're not going to be with them when they go home." And then in verse 27, it says, "And say, thus saith the king." And so, you're going to send Micaiah back to jail. "And say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction, and with water of affliction, until I come in peace." And so he said, "We'll put him in the jail, give him bread and water of affliction until I come in peace." And of course, here's again why Micaiah is so hated by Ahab. His answer, and Micaiah said, "If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me." And so, in other words, you're not coming back in peace, so I'm going to be in jail until forever. And so he recognizes he's hated. The wicked king hated God's prophet because he would not prophesy anything good about him. If Ahab had been a lover of God and a lover of truth, he would not have hated Micaiah. But Micaiah refused to unite with Ahab, and so the king hated him. And so, when we stand up for God, when we are a spokesman for God, when we refuse to compromise, as Ahab or Micaiah refused to do, we're going to be hated. But Micaiah was hated for this reason, but so was Jesus and his apostles. In John chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Jesus and his disciples, his apostles, were shining the light on the darkness, and the darkness didn't like it. It hated the lights. Matthew 10 and verse 22, Jesus told them, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." You know, sometimes in following God and being His spokesman, we may suffer for it. Micaiah certainly suffered for it, the bread and water of affliction, until Ahab would return again in peace, which we know he didn't. He returned again maybe in pieces. He was dead. He was killed on the battlefield. Micaiah suffered for his uncompromising stand for the truth. Also, you know, think about the prophet Jeremiah. You know, in the southern kingdom, many years later, as they're about to fall into Babylonian captivity, God's message to the people is submit to the Babylonians. Submit to them and go into the captivity is the only way you're going to come out of it alive. Otherwise, you will be destroyed. That did not make Jeremiah popular at all. He was very unpatriotic in the eyes of those people of Judah of that day. And yet, he would not back off of his message. He would say the words and speak the words of God, and he suffered for it. In Jeremiah 38, verse 6, it says, "Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire." You imagine being buried up to your chest in mire? You know, that's just muddy clay. You know, some of you may know, I've talked about it and complained about it some this week. We've got a water leak in our house, and I got an entrenching tool the other day, or a big excavator, rented that thing, and I dug out a hole right next to the house where it's leaking to find the leak. And sure enough, I found the pipe with the bucket and broke it. And so I'm trying to repair my big mess I made, and water everywhere. Of course, then we had that big rainstorm. And I get down in the pit about 4 foot deep, and I'm trying to patch that pipe underwater, and my feet sunk to my knees in the mud, and I almost didn't get out. I thought I was going to drown for a few minutes there. And nobody could hear me yelling, maybe, but I managed to get out, left my rubber boots behind, but once I got my feet out of those, I was fine. It's not a good feeling. And this is what Jeremiah had to face. Don't know how long he was down there. He was down there quite a while, though. And so he suffered. In Hebrews 11, verses 36 and 37, you know, the great Faith Hall of Fame, you know, a lot of people were mentioned by name, and then he just says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented for being spokesmen of God, for standing up for God." And so sometimes we may have to suffer. You know, Paul warns us that all of us will to some degree. 2 Timothy 3:12. "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You know, you can avoid that persecution like those, you know, other advisors of Ahab. Said, we all just go along and say whatever he wants. We just tell him what he wants to hear, and everything works out great. You know, we can be like that, but we can't be like that and live godly. And so we take a stand and live godly in Christ Jesus. He said, we're going to face persecution. You know, we cannot have unity with the works of darkness. Unity as defined by the Bible is the only unity that matters. You know, there are some who say, well, we just put aside all our differences and just focus on the things that we have in common and not worry about our differences, and we can have unity. That's not unity. You know, unity is something that we must strive for. Endeavor. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the spirits. The unity of the Spirit is a unity that is to be kept. Does one for a moment believe that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit taught different and opposing doctrines, yet were united in some sort of way? Certainly not. You know, John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. They also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Christ and the Father are one. Christ and the Spirit and the Father, they are one. We've got to be one in them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul wrote there, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgments. And so, you know, we've got to give diligence to keep that unity of the spirits. You know, it's found in the Spirit's Word, the Word of God. You know, there is only one Word of God. There's only one gospel. Galatians 1, 6 through 8. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so there is only one gospel. We're not to pervert it or change it in any way. And that gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Paul wrote Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And so it is the only way to be saved. If we pervert that, if we change it, then what's going to happen? People aren't going to be saved. You know, Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 about those who refuse to know God and to obey Him. Notice what he said, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of His, or the glory of His power. And so we see the importance of the Word of God, of not perverting it or changing it. We've got to know Him and we've got to obey Him. The only way to know and obey God is with a pure gospel. And so Micaiah had a choice, didn't he? He could do what Ahab said and just tell him what he wanted to hear. Or he could tell him the truth. He could tell him the truth and go back to jail. Or he could tell him what he wanted to hear and go free. What choice did he make? The same choice that Peter and the apostles were faced with in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They were told, don't go and preach the name of Jesus. They were told by Jesus, preach my word, preach the gospel to every creature. There's two conflicting commands. And Peter said, we're going to obey God and we're not going to obey you. Micaiah, that's the attitude he had. Whatever the consequences, whatever happens, I'm going to obey God. And that needs to be our attitude. You know, in the first century, obeying God, becoming a Christian, especially if you're a Jew, living in Jerusalem or living there in Judea and you turned away from the Jewish faith and you became a Christian, there were some consequences. There were some difficult times ahead. But we've got to make the choice. Who are we going to obey, God or man? To obey God, we must hear the Word of God and believe it, repent of our sins and be baptized to wash away our sins, and be thou faithful unto death in order to receive that crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Tonight, if you're here and you've not obeyed Christ, you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, we urge you today to do so. If you haven't been obedient as a Christian, we urge you to repent and to come back. Tonight, if we can help you to be restored to a right relationship with God, be baptized into Christ, please let us know by coming forward as we stand and as we sing.